Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and we still have the best backfield in Office Hours history right next to me. We also have a new quarterback in the seat. Arjun Dhingra is here. He's a brother from another mother. He's an entrepreneur, 23-year veteran in the mortgage industry as an advisor. But I love the LFG Society that he created and is truly growing because it's aligned with what I believe is the solution or the pursuit of happiness and wealth is accommodated by building a community. This is what LFG Society is about, Arjun. It's building a community simply of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And what I've learned about this type of community is it's the best thing for business because if you can build a community like the LFG Society of these types of people, they will buy from you for life and sell for you for life. You're guaranteed fulfillment, passion, purpose, and even profitability. Arjun Dhingra, welcome to Office Hours.
Thanks for having me, brother. That's a better pitch for the society than I've ever heard. So, which is why you're one of the faculty members. So I appreciate it.
Good episode.
Worldwide Chancellor and Chancellor of the LFG Society. What was the challenge that you faced? I know for me, when I wanted to go on a different mission, the challenge was people were killing themselves and it just didn't make sense. It always made sense to me if, you know, CTE, medical conditions, I understood depression and anxiety, PTSD. But when 12-year-olds in every demographic in the world, people are killing themselves, highest, fastest growing cause of death in America, suicide. I said to myself, I need to build a different community. I got to take what I'm good at and do it. What to you made you change your course of direction from such financial success into, wait, I got to build a new community? This LFG Society.
I think it was a reflection on everything just getting wiped out. Like back in the housing market crash at that time, my brother, who's a dear friend of yours too, we worked together and we had no one. Now at that time, 2007, 2008, you couldn't tell anyone that you did mortgages because we were the reason the economy collapsed. We were the bad guys. So I would be on.
Am I one of the few people that take accountability for losing all my money? I never blame the mortgage guy.
You were the one guy that did it.
One guy.
Why weren't we friends then?
I'm just really an idiot. I'm kind of like Eddie George. I just suck. I lost $100 million because I suck.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a tough time, but we had no community. And then over the years, as we stuck out the business and figured out ways to serve people better and kind of reacclimate in this new economy, it was really kind of noticing that there's people who are really successful and they tend to kind of run in their own fraternities, right? And the uber successful people, they scratch each other's back. They support each other when somebody launches a product or builds something new or their company goes public, whatever it is. And all of us look to that and we can learn now in this digital age with YouTube and social media, the proximity is a little closer, but it's still not quite real. And we can oftentimes look to that and say, that's amazing, but they're decades ahead of me. You know, that could be so much further out. What about the person that's only two steps ahead of me or one step ahead of me who also believes in that pathway, but we could kind of learn from each other right here and lift each other up and giving that proximity that was affordable, that was accessible, and that was tangible to people was the sole mission. It's not a money-making thing. It's a community thing. I mean, the access into the society is, I call it, it's less than a cup of coffee a day, depending on what market you're in. I'm in San Francisco, which is inflated coffee, overpriced. But, you know, in Omaha, maybe it's about it actually fits the model. Omaha. So I just threw that. I hope no one's from Omaha.
If you are,
I'm jealous of your cheaper coffee because I overpay for it all the time. But that's what really inspired it. I wanted to allow people at any stage in their professional career to be able to join something, feel like they belong, have the proximity to people that have been where they're at and aren't afraid to talk to them and actually will share with them. Because there's a lot of communities where you pay a lot of money to be a part of it. You sit there and you absorb the content or the thought leadership, and then that's it. In our community, it's very different. My requirement of every single person that comes in is that you also give, because I can learn something from anyone. It doesn't matter what level of success they are. They could be dead broke. There's something that they have to teach, maybe about the mistakes that landed them there, or the journey, or things that they could have done differently, the people they didn't listen to, or the cancer they've defeated, whatever hardship people have gone through in their life, I think there's more to that human story than there is about the uber successful. The uber successful, of course, I appreciate, and I wanna chase because it gives me something to pursue also and look up to, but I also get as much, if not more, inspiration from the woman that's twice defeated breast cancer, or you know, something along those lines.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot there that you just shared. I think you're right. I think anytime you form a community is putting people that's like-minded in the same space, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I tend to struggle with, or I have struggled with, is when you're in those rooms and you have the uber successful, it's opening up, what's the icebreaker, right?
Yes.
You feel like they all have it figured out. What am I going to contribute to the conversation? How can I pull from them and not feel like everyone comes to them for questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this community, how do you kind of allow people to trust that it's a safe space? Outside of that, I'm a new customer, right? Or I'm a new member. I don't quite know you. I've heard about the experience. How do you get me, or how do you get people in the room to let us both know that we're trustworthy of the space and in the time we have together?
So this is something that I figured out during my 10-year run as coach for Team USA, because I competed for Team USA on the national team for Taekwondo. And then I had the privilege, which was an even greater honor,
to... You could just beat everybody up.
No, that's not it. That's not it. I'm still afraid of you, man.
He bruises on the inside. I'm
still very much afraid of you. I'm the smallest guy here, right? You said quarterback, too. Like, that would never work. 5'8 quarterback. But, no...
Tell Doug Flutie that. You're okay.
Tell me. Russell Wilson. Yeah. I think when I was coached, there was something I learned, and I actually read this in Pete Carroll's book, Coach Pete Carroll, which was that you have to have a coaching philosophy. And you also got to recognize that it's not a one size fits all to coaching or leading a community. Everybody's got something different. And I think maybe sometimes in the athletic world that I grew up in, maybe even you did too, you either had talent or you didn't. You were riding the bench or you were the show horse. That's it. There was no in between. And these guys were just there to get beat up on, but these guys got all the accolades. And when I took over Team USA as coach, I recognized that this was a big gap. There were a lot of people who had something to contribute in some way. They may not look the part. We had our studs and people that we know we could put in the ring and they would represent the stars and stripes well. And then there was other people that deserved to be there because they'd put in the time, but they weren't being seen. And I said, I want to see people. That's something I feel I make a very active effort daily. To see people, anybody, anything. So I started looking at people differently. And even the guy who never got noticed, that looked a little bit out of shape, but he had a head of steel. That's why this guy's not getting knocked out. That to me is something. We can use that, right? Not to diminish its value or oversimplify it, but I started seeing people. And when I noticed the entire spark in someone's eye and their overall energy, when we look to either coach, inspire, lead, or pull something out of them, it changes when they feel noticed, when they feel seen, when they feel heard. You know, I think those are the two of the bigger human needs are to be loved and to be seen or wanted or feel like you have some purpose. So this society is very much about that. And that's where I give people the opportunity because I want them to be seen and to feel like they have a platform and that it is safe. And yes, you're right. That vulnerability is tough. But if you also know that it's absent of any judgment and that that is a part of it here, everyone's going to get to do it. I'm not being singled out or I'm not the only one who's trying to speak up. It's asked and required of all of us because by definition, that's what a society is. It's a collaborative effort where all the members contribute to lift, not just this subservient hierarchy. And so that's how I feel as a leader and the founder of the group, even if it's going to drain all the energy I have, which it won't because there's so much fulfillment behind it, I will continue to try and look at every single person, no matter how big this group gets, to see something in them, some member that can turn into a big fire and hopefully bring it out of them.
I love that.
Thanks, brother.
It's amazing to hear that crossover. I want to talk about being equal to the moment.
Yes, sir.
I heard an interview from you when you were talking about your last fight. And you were talking about the feeling that you had going into the fight. And it was almost like you're seeing the fight happen. And you're like, I feel really comfortable and I feel really good about the outcome. And I just went out and did it. And then I came back and it turned out how I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that correlates to being equal to the moment. But what comes up for you in those moments when you're facing something challenging?
You did your homework, Bucky. That's good, man. Yeah.
You don't mess around at all.
I should have known. Man. I'm walking into this.
Be more interested than interesting.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be a host.
Yes, sir. Well, that was actually something that came up at the time when I took over as coach because there were a lot of people. And look, I think Floyd Mayweather actually said this. He said, you can do all the training you want in the world, in your garage, in your private gym, whatever. But when you get under the big lights, only one of us is going to shine. And that's him, which is why his record is what it is. Love him or hate him, the guy can perform. In the biggest of moments, he delivers, he executes. Even when the odds are against him in these later years, the moment, I mean, you're from Vegas, right? You've grown up watching him. just keeps winning. Can't get beat, even when he probably should have to some of those fights. So a lot of our people, I would feel, because when you're on a world stage, competing in a world championships, you've got an arena with thousands of people in it, flags, national anthems, and chants from these countries. And let's be honest, the U.S. is not the friendly guest that's welcomed at most things. Generally, there's a lot of hate directed at us. So when you walk in your track jacket wearing the stars and stripes, they kind of sneer at you, you know, like you get dismissed, and you have a target on your back, for sure. They're like, I want to kick that guy's ass, right? That's the guy I'm after, or that woman. So a lot of our people, I would notice in seeing in these big moments, it would, their energy would just shift. It was almost too much for them. So I just thought more about it, because it's a mentality thing, it's an energy thing. And I said, you got to be equal to the moment. And what I mean by that is, when you come into a big moment, it requires you to be big. Because if you're too big, if you come in arrogant or cocky, you will not give the environment, the event, the moment its due respect. And therefore, you'll be cheated out of the intentional lesson that it was meant to give you as a humble person to go into anything, right? Me walking into this room, I'm equal to this moment to be with great entrepreneurs and thought leaders. I'm equal to it. There's no reason I would ever come in here. That's disrespectful. And I'll be cheated out of this moment or this experience that we're going to have. If I come in smaller than it, which is what most people do, this is where people choke, you get swallowed up like it's a huge wave and spit out the other side. But if it's big, you got to be big. You just be equal to it. It's not any more complicated than that. I stay right on par with it. I stay within myself. I don't get bigger than it. Certainly not going to be smaller than it. I realize I've prepared and stay equal to it. And when this was a process, but when we started implementing this mindset in with our athletes, we noticed there was a sense of calm and confidence. Win, lose, or draw. The results, you know, they fall where they are, and sometimes it's not your day. But at least the energy and the people feeling like they belonged in that moment rather than being beaten before they even stepped into it, that shifted. And that was the big victory for me as a coach, regardless of the medal count. But as an athlete, that's what I always tried to manifest. This is big, so I'm going to be big. And I always show my opponent respect. I feel like that's the difference between arrogance and actually being confident, or cocky and having swagger. Cocky or arrogance means you're actually dismissive of the person that's on the other side of you. You feel you're better than them as it relates to being a human being. I'm a better person than you. I'm a better athlete than you in the negative respects. Just having belief or swagger means I just know that I got what it takes. Irrespective of what you've done, I respect you, man, but it's not your day today. When I woke up, I knew it was my day. Yeah. That's it.
Imagine starting a small business, your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast.
What's shaking?
Good to see you, man.
It's on brand all the time.
Always. <yeah. laughs> I believe you said, you know, when the housing collapse took place,
yeah,
right, in mortgages, that's when you first had the thoughts or the inklings of the LFG Society, right? Way back when. So I mean this in like the best and most respectful way, because I can list 10 reasons, 20 reasons why it took me 10 years to do something. Mm-hmm. What did you go through during that over decade before you launched LFG? Like mindset, heart, before you're like, okay, now is the time.
I knew I didn't have an idea of exactly what it would be. I just knew in the back of my mind, I didn't want other people to feel the way we felt.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were in such survival mode because we went like 2 years without any income. Luckily, we had saved well, right? Those are the Indian genes in us. We'd put money away actually and saved it to actually be able to survive. But a lot of people in that industry got completely washed out and took on different careers. But
like Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's very true. Right.
Real.
Absolutely for real. So it took me some time to know what this was going to be, But I always knew, one, I didn't want to feel like that. And if I could help other people avoid feeling like there's no community to go to when a market shifts, or when an economy turns, or when COVID hits, whatever it is, like, it's not a matter of these events, like, of if they happen, but it's always a matter of when. Like, things will happen, right? So you got to be prepared for them. And more importantly, if you have community to go to when these things happen, you'll be able to ride out any storm, right? Because there's no greater power than the collaboration of other humans or that tight-knit circle. So it took time, and I didn't want to do anything also that didn't feel genuine or it felt rushed. And that, I know, goes against a lot of things that entrepreneurs say. They're like, don't wait for the perfect time. It's not that I was waiting for the perfect time. I waited for it to actually just kind of come out naturally. And in this last year, because LFG actually kind of started by accident, pure accident. It was with our good friend, Ryan Serhant.
That's the best.
So I was putting LFG, I just had LFG as like this cool phrase, and it's not even mine, it's Tom Brady's, right? He's the one who says it. But then I just thought, I have it, and we could maybe, you know, use it some way. And I booked a big event to do with Ryan Serhant. And Ryan at that time, 2 years ago, his company says, after we've already paid the deposit and everything, like, we got a problem. Like, what? He says, Ryan has this connection or affiliation with Chase, a bank, and you're a mortgage guy, so there can't be any mortgage connection or whatever. Otherwise, it's a bit in violation with his relationship here. They're like, so do you have another entity? I was like, no. I'm like, what do we do? And they're like, well, your deposit, I don't know. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I looked at, I just saw LFG written on a piece of paper. I was like, LFG Presents, that's my entity. They're like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know, man, but it's going to be something.
Give me 30 so minutes. I'm the Secretary of State. I got
something it. On that. Yeah. So that was what they did. That's how they did the contract. Yeah. And then LFG Presents became this event sponsorship entity that I put on events through. And then I thought, you know what? Now as things were developing, I was like, what if we had our own mastermind or community? And I just call it the LFG Society, because I wanted something above a mastermind, because mastermind's been a bit overused in the entrepreneurial community over the last 10 years. Not that there's anything negative about it. It's just that everyone has one. Yeah. I'm a part of many of them. I love them, but I want to do something different. So that's what I came up with. That's what I came up with, Society. But it took a while to get there, but it wasn't because I was necessarily putting it off. I just wanted it to come out more naturally. And once, I guess we can thank Ryan's people, his legal team, for it, because they kicked me in the ass to get this done. So, yeah.
Well, that's
only,
brilliant.
Only one that could kick him in the ass, or Steven Jackson in the ass. But our frequencies are neighborhood, and Office Hours is a neighborhood, and so is the LFG Society. It's a neighborhood that I love to belong to and be a part of, and appreciate you and everything that you've done, not only for our country as a coach, but as a coach, a mentor, and a teacher to so many that have their own challenges and struggles, especially in the entrepreneurial space, with extreme successes and failures. My friend, Arjun Dhingra, you're amazing. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
on
brother.
Office
I appreciate all you guys, man. Thank you, guys.
Keep up the good work. We'll be right back on Office Hours.